Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Yes, indeed. Michael O'Regan, Call from the Dáil. Is there open warfare going on there between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, particularly backbenchers? Are they sneering at each other and hissing each other as they pass the corridors?
Well, it hasn't quite reached that. What a frightening thought.
Or does that just happen in a normal week, Michael?
Yes, that might be a normal week. It hasn't quite reached that stage yet, but and probably won't. But let's put it this way, Jerry. They're sniping at each other from a distance. And this is a real spat between two political parties in government. Emphasizes again, of course, the reality that all coalitions, they're political marriages of convenience. Remember when Micheál Martin said he couldn't possibly go into government with Fine Gael? But anyway, they're in government now. Poor relationship as well, by the way, between Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar. But it's workable. You don't have to be best friends with somebody to work together in government. But yeah, this is a real spat. And what's happening here, Jerry, is this. The bat lines are being formed for the next European and local elections and the general election. And Fine Gael are going to pitch for Middle Ireland.
Yeah, let me ask you that question, Michael, on this. Don't ask me to believe that the three union ministers came together. Do you know what we'll do, lads? We'll do an op-ed and let's come up with an idea for €1,000 for people of a tax credit, you know, the people who we want supporting us, the people who work hard, get up early in the morning, and to use Leo Varadkar's stump speech from when he was going for Fine Gael leader, I want to be a leader for people who get up early in the morning, go to work, don't qualify for everything, and pay, or for anything, for any payments or social welfare, and end up paying for everything through their taxes. That's effectively what the letter said, wasn't it? So this was coming from the Taoiseach, really, wasn't it?
That's exactly what the letter said, and it was coming from the Taoiseach. Leo would have known all about it. It would have been carefully organised by Fine Gael. Leo would have been in on it. Strategy people within Fine Gael would have been in on it. Look at the three: Jennifer Carroll McNeill, Peter Burke, and Martin Hayden. All Leo loyalists. Jennifer Carroll McNeill is a junior minister in the Department of Finance, you know, which adds an added impetus to it. So yes, this was very much Fine Gael strategy, and I think part of it would have been Leo inspired as well, because he has to be getting worried, Jerry, about his own position, in that he was, as you said there, he was the man who said, look, I'll represent the people who get up early in the morning, Middle Ireland, they work hard, they deserve a break, etc., etc. But the opinion polls are showing that he's not quite the saviour of Fine Gael that he was supposed to be. He was supposed to represent him. New face, New Ireland, it's not working like that. And this article in the Irish Independent was a political ploy. And now Fianna Fáil, of course, who were very angered by it, are hitting back. And they're questioning, actually. They're all briefing now, Jerry, at a ferocious rate privately. And Fianna Fáil questioning now the Fine Gael figures. Fine Gael say 1.9 million people could benefit. Fianna Fáil say considerably.
No. That's not going to be. It's going to be a small number of people, and it'll be for the select few. We're a party that wants more money for everybody. Here's Lisa Chambers, Fianna Fáil senator, former TD, having a go at Fine Gael and the junior minister, saying this is not how you do business. This is just not cricket, Michael.
There was a collective eye roll across Leinster House when this op-ed dropped. I think people saw for what it was. Attention grabbing, looking for headlines, as opposed to actually contributing to the already established budget process where there's three parties working together. It's not the way to do business. It's not the way that you work when you've got three parties, you know, in a coalition together.
So there you go. What do you make of that? Simon Coveney coming out saying, this is just the way things are done, he's saying. We're just setting out our position. This is Fine Gael. This is who we represent, and we'll get into talks and we'll work it all out.
That's right, yeah. And we believe you, Simon, of course. Interesting, Lisa Chambers coming out that strong on it. She would be very much a strong supporter of Micheál Martin going back at some time. She would be, had she retained her Dáil seat, she'd be in cabinet now. But so you can take it that her comments would be very much have the imprimatur of Micheál Martin. The thing about this, though, Jerry, is Fine Gael is staking. This is a PR move by Fine Gael. Fianna Fáil inevitably responding negatively. But a lot of people will be looking at it and saying, well, what kind of cohesion is there in this government? You know, I mean, the budget is way off in the autumn. And by the way, and our listeners of a certain age will be interested in this, Leo effectively...
He's doling out the goodies from leaders' questions, from his chair in leaders' questions. You know, you're going to get a raise in October. I'll see to it.
Yeah, he's telling the old age pensioners they're going to get an increase, and it almost came across as if he was announcing the budget in advance. But and what that has prompted a few Fianna Fáil backbenchers, people like Willie O'Dea and John McGuinness, to come in and say the increase should be between 15 and 20 euro. And some of the Fine Gael backbenchers, Gerry, who want to be in on the act as well, are privately agreeing, yes, let's not have just a fiver or a tenner. Let's have a significant increase for old age pensioners. Now, when you think about it, all this is going on before they sit around the cabinet table to draw up even the first few figures on the budget.
Yeah, interesting. Michael, what would you say to this? Could this be contrived, this whole row, to a certain extent? Fine Gael setting out its traditional financial conservative position, Fianna Fáil putting out its traditional party of the people image, trying to silence critics of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil that really both parties are one and the same these days.
No, I don't think it's contrived. I think this is Fine Gael putting it out there to try and establish their position, which, as I say, will be the fundamental hallmark of their electoral strategy. We are the people of Middle Ireland. Bear in mind, Gerry, if you say, as Fine Gael will say, be very, very careful of Sinn Féin, don't put them into government, etc., etc., etc. So you focus, look at Fine Gael, as they would see it. We're the party of Middle Ireland. By the way, Middle Ireland, you know, volatile voters, commuters, the people, yes, up early in the morning, etc., etc. You know, they can shift ground even midway through a general election. And then, of course, Leo is very careful and I would think very focused response to the question of the old age pension. The Grey vote, they vote.
They do indeed, Michael, and they look at their pocketbook, as the American politics would say. The pocketbook is very, very important. Final question is before we move on, Michael. Micheál Martin's position, I know you've spoken about this several times on the programme about his future. Gerard Howland had an interesting column in the Irish Times this week where he talked about Fianna Fáil as a party and said really what's happened over the last number of years is Micheál Martin has remade the party in his own image, and it's a party that serves its leader. He has a myriad of opportunities, job opportunities and others to think about, several key leadership positions at EU level if he wants, or a walk in the Phoenix Park if he wants. And he said it's coming, it will come, this is his opinion, at the cost of Fianna Fáil when he does leave.
Yeah, that was an interesting article. And of course, Gerry Howland worked at the very heart of government. He was an advisor to Bertie Ahern. I think he's essentially right. The one thing that can be said, of course, about Micheál Martin was that he stuck with the party when others retired on fairly handsome pensions and lump sums and everything. And he took the leadership and he did rebuild the party from, the crash, the political crash for Fianna Fáil that followed the economic crash. So he did, and he worked hard at it. I think he made a mistake in the... the supporting a minority Fine Gael government, but anyway, that's history now. But he personally, he's positioned very well. I don't think he's going to leave Fianna Fáil into the next election. He denies that, of course. He says he will. If he was going to leave Fianna Fáil into the next election, he wouldn't have taken foreign affairs, which takes you away a lot, and that kind of thing. But look recently, Gerry. Our listeners may have spotted this as well. Look recently at the profile he has. He's here, there and everywhere in terms of media events. Now, a lot of them are circumstantial, in fairness. And as Minister for Foreign Affairs, you do get a lot of publicity, and a lot of it is very positive. He's talking about neutrality. Europe very significantly. I think he's on a lap of honour, and I think he's going to go to Europe, I suspect. Now,
he denied it all last weekend, Michael, on the Late Late Show, the one you were so sore at not being invited on. He said, no, I'm, you know, Bertie's not running for the Oris. I'm going to lead Fianna Fáil into the next election.
He did, and I was watching that, Gerry, and my cup of cocoa nearly spilled over as I watched it, because, look, what else can he say, you see, at the moment? If he says, oh, not at all, I'm interested in Europe, or maybe replacing Michael Dear, whatever.
He becomes a lame duck leader straight away, so he can't tell the truth.
Precisely. So, before then, Gerry, I would stake my next cup of cocoa on the fact that he will not lead Fianna Fáil into the next election. I think he might well be looking to Europe. You know, in fact, I think he is going to look to Europe. And when you think about it, Fianna Fáil, and it'll be their turn, by the way, to hand out the big job. How can they turn down a former Taoiseach, as he would be then, and a man who would get a very, very good portfolio in Europe? And by the way, a guy who's very, very highly respected in Europe. Mm. And of course, wouldn't it be a great day for Cork, Gerry?
A great day, which we're always very worried about here in Kerry. Michael, we'll talk more about the Dáil Week and other things after we take these.
Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Now, Michael, another Fine Gael TD announced during the week that he will not be running in the next election. This is David Stanton of Cork, and he is not running a long-serving. This isn't a young TD who's opting out of Leo Varadkar's vision for the future. He's a TD, I suppose, who served his time, 1997, first elected to the Dáil.
That's right, yeah, and a very good TD, very low-key but very effective, very good Minister of State in his time, and he's a loss to Fine Gael. But, you know, his career has reached its natural end, and his retirement age, and so there's no huge political significance in it. And no doubt, you know, in Cork East, very, very tight four-seater, they're lining up, you know, to replace him with Fine Gael. But
he doesn't want to be rattling around Leinster House post age 70, is what he said. There's a few up there who haven't taken that advice, Michael.
There are, Gerry, I can tell you there are. And look, more luck to them if they feel that way. And of course, when people say that Fine Gael has lost some very, very good young TDs, not least Brendan Griffin, and of course they're right on that, you look at the other end, and the complaint used to be, by the way, in all parties, that some TDs stayed on too long in the past. You know, they didn't make way for young people. But what's going to happen now, Gerry, is this. There's two major events coming up that will define the next, you know, selection conventions and all that for the next elections. One is the local election next year, obviously, and the other one is coming sooner, and that's in August, the redrawing of the constituencies. Mm. So that's in terms
to make
of
minds up for a lot of people.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And yeah. Michael, is it the case with those older TDs and someone running again? Charlie Flanagan's going again. Is Michael Ring considering going? Is it the case that despite all the complaining, despite all the hassle and the grief, some of them just, I won't say love the limelight, but they can't, they're addicted to it. They can't leave the show.
Well, you see, yeah, I know a Fianna Fáil TD many years back who lost his seat. And now he later prospered. He later actually went on the bench. He was a barrister. And I met him after he'd lost his seat, about 6 months after it. He came in and had a cup of coffee with him in Leinster House. And he told me he had gone through 6 months of a black depression when he lost his seat. Now, he was a young man with a career to go back to, by the way, Gerry. It wasn't as if he'd lost his career. But and I asked him why, and he said, look, there's a sense of rejection by the electorate and all that kind of thing. And also, politics is attractive for many people, and still is, by the way. And if you look at many of the TDs in Leinster House at the moment, how many of them would give it up? Some do, like Brendan Griffin, the aforementioned Brendan Griffin and that, but many don't. And maybe they should... maybe they should listen to a retired civil servant told me many years ago, that when Sean Lamass retired in 1966 and there was a lot of surprise and etc., which there was, of course, at the time, although people didn't realise that he wasn't a well man. But he said to somebody, the time to go is before they come looking for you.
Yeah, indeed. Michael, speaking of retired TDs and life after politics, Bertie Ahern was back in the House, or rather the Upper House, during the week, the Shannon.
That's right. Bertie was back. Got a very, very good reception in the Shannon. He addressed the Shannon, all part, of course, of the 25th anniversary celebrations and commemorations surrounding the Good Friday Agreement. He made a very, very good address to the Shannon, was welcomed cross-party and so on. And there was an event organised by the Cown Coalition, Sean O'Farrell. But leading to further speculation, Gerry, that he might be a candidate for the presidency. No. I don't get this. This is arrant nonsense. And I'll tell you why. And Bertie knows this better than anyone because he's a political pragmatist. Bertie Ahern, to run for the presidency for a start, would have to get the Fianna Fáil nomination or else go the independent route.
You couldn't see him going around the local authorities of Ireland trying to get councils to vote for him?
Not at all. Who among the Fine Gael, Labour and other councillors out there around the country would vote for a former Fianna Fáil Taoiseach? They wouldn't. They wouldn't, Gerry. And the thing is, he wouldn't get the nomination from the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party either. And the reason is that if he did, there were a few things come up, the controversy around his personal finances going back many years, and also, of course, the economic crash, etc., etc. It would become a wretched campaign. And Bertie's chance now, I think, in terms of his public profile, is to become the elder statesman of the peace process, you know, where he made a major contribution.
Yeah.
And I think, by the way, he knows that, Gerry, and he's around politics long enough to know that he won't be a candidate for the presidency, and he's probably smiling at the media commentary. By the way, and this is just gossip around Leinster House, Gerry, tittle-tattle over cups of coffee and all that kind of thing. A lot of talk that Sinn Féin might run Senator Francis Black in the next presidential election, which means, of course, that Gerry Adams would not be a candidate, would not be their candidate. And again, Gerry Adams won't be their candidate because, you know the experience they had with the late Martin McGuinness. But Francis Black, quite Republican and outward, quite radical, a woman with a lot to say for herself, entertainer. Sounds like a good name to think about.
Yeah, very interesting. Speaking of Sinn Féin, I know John Major was speaking in Dublin this week, talking about a border poll and calling for precise terms. You know, this kind of, I won't call it a fudge, but there was elements of the Good Friday Agreement that were a fudge. They had to be a fudge to get things over the line. But there was this kind of vague assertion that the Secretary of State the border poll will happen when the Secretary of State deems that the conditions are right for one to take place. John Major saying it's time to write down those conditions. Is that right?
That's right. This was very interesting. I mean, when you think about it, former British Prime Minister, very involved himself in the peace process, now 80, I see, and looking very well for it, actually. And he was speaking during the Irish Embassy in London. This was the Henry Grattan lecture series. Again, the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement was the topic. But he said that the terms from the UK calling a border poll in the north should be spelt out. Now, this quite an intriguing proposal when you think about it, because it would clarify a lot of matters, I think, for many people. And when it's coming from a former British Prime Minister, actually, it probably carries more weight than coming from somebody in the Republic. But if you think of a scenario like that, where the terms would be spelt out, and where the parties north and south could look at it, and see it as a long-term issue, then that might change things. But again, you look at the mess that is Northern politics. Sinn Féin now, the biggest party of local government.
Yeah, they performed very well last weekend, Michael, in the election. An interesting outcome. And interesting, the tactics that they used, very pragmatic, went all but silent, totally silent on any talk of a border poll. They concentrated on cost of living and getting the executive back up and running, and it worked for them.
It did. And it just shows you how how well focused they are on government. And come the next European and local elections, they'll be talking about issues like the health services, housing, the cost of living. Now, there will be the token gesture towards a united Ireland. They won't be beating any militant Republican drum. Gerry, they're on their way long-term into government.
And speaking, Michael, of being on their way, during the week last night on Primetime, they were talking about the terrible delays in our justice system. And front bench spokesperson, justice spokesperson, Deputy Pat Daly, was up against Minister Harris. And earlier on during the week, he was on Virgin Media on The Tonight Show. So he's being pushed front and centre, performing very well on television, I thought.
He's performing extremely well, and he's now a key member of the front bench, the Sinn Féin front bench, holding a very, very critical portfolio, and, theoretically, could be a future Minister of Justice. Somebody mentioned to me recently, Gerry, a friend of mine interested in politics, said, oh, yeah, but if Sinn Féin get into government, what about this and that and that? Sinn Féin in government, I said, be as conservative and as traditional as anybody. I said, have you ever heard of the zeal of the convert? And there are historical precedents in Irish society for that. Look at the way De Valera and Boland turned on, you know, former activists way, way back decades and decades ago. But yes, Pat Daly, a man to watch.
Certainly is. Michael, listen, we're going to leave it there. My thanks to you for talking to us this week with Call from the Law.